here chatting with us. It's my pleasure to welcome in one of the most amazing men I have ever had the pleasure of knowing, a man who is the foremost expert on Islam. He's written a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad, and Islam, knows the religion better than anyone alive, but more importantly has the courage and compassion and wisdom to speak out against it. IQ, it is tragic that Canadians decided that they would replace a prime minister that was accurate in his depictions of Islam and opposed to Islamic terrorism, and bring one in that he's going to change the tone so that Canada can be more accepting of Islam.
Well, I would like to start by putting on the record for future reference.
Yes.
A few personal predictions, if you don't mind.
Please.
The Canadians have just, as you said, brought into power Justin Trudeau as Prime Minister, who will be their version of Obama in every possible manner. Why do I say that? He's a liberal thinker who knows, whose knowledge of Islam is as abysmal as his political shrewdness.
Yes.
Before his election, he literally prayed with the Muslims in a mosque in the Islamic manner. As well as he gloated about peaceful Islam. He's the same guy that in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon Jihad bombing, Justin Trudeau issued a bizarre statement. He said, "There is no question that this happened because of someone who feels completely excluded, someone who feels completely at war with innocence, at war with society." This is remarkable. Because this is contrary to what the terrorist Sanarev explained after the bombing, that he and his brother committed murder at Marathon, at the Marathon, because they wanted to defend Islam, and that his brother had vowed to die for Islam. So Trudeau cannot associate Islam with terror, just like Obama, having not even bothered to read Muhammad's Quran. He, like Obama, blames all others for the dysfunction conditions that at any, in fact, any sane human being, any decent human being, having read and watched the news, would easily come to the opposite conclusion regarding the despicable characteristics of Muslims. He will support the institution of Sharia in Canada, allowing Muslim women to wear both hijab or niqab. He is looking forward to settling hundreds of thousands of Muslims who are refugees from Syria, theoretically, but they're not, and other Muslim countries. Justin Trudeau will put Canada as an adversary to Israel in the United Nations. Because he's sympathetic, like his father used to be, to the Palestinian cause, irrespective of the fact that the Christians under the Muslims of so-called Palestine are being systematically terrorized into leaving their land of nativity.
Gone from 20% of the population to less than 1%.
Absolutely. It was, by the way, that high under Israel, when the Israelis controlled West Bank and Gaza.
Correct.
So that's 20, what I'm putting on the record.
20% to less than 1%. Yeah, he is the he's the living embodiment of what Yahweh has to say about King Shaul, King Saul. Where you may not be aware of this, but when the Israelites said we wanted a king like the Goyim nations, God said, you know, you ought not want that, because if you have a ruler, here's all the horrible things this ruler is going to do to you. That if you choose for yourself a government, but, you know, I'm giving you free will. That's your choice. If you want a government like other nations, you can have it, but here's what's going to happen to you. You know, when he talks about the wars that they would fight, the taxes that they would steal, the all manner of deception that they would perpetrate, and how they would literally control the lives of their subjects. Turning them into de facto slaves. And Trudeau is the living embodiment of the lie. And
by the way,
his
border with the USA will become a very easy point of entry for Muslim terrorists.
Of course.
That is besides the homegrown one.
Yeah, of course.
He has already ordered his Air Force mm-hmm. to return home and not continue attacking ISIS in Syria.
Yeah, but,
ladies and gentlemen, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah.
Now, for those who are willing to read it.
That part
of it. USA will need to protect its northern border as well mm-hmm. as their southern border.
One of the things that he did is saying, we ought not be bombing the Islamic State. That's stupid. But there, everything else that he is advocating is borderline insane. The only thing you can say on behalf of Canadians is only 38% to 39% of you voted for him, and the which means that the majority, some 61% of to 62% of Canadians voted for either someone else or, and most probably chose not to participate in the election. And, you know, his only claim to fame was pretty face and a well-known name because of his daddy.
That's it.
Nothing else.
As I said, he's clueless.
He's clueless, yeah. But yeah. Clueless is extremely dangerous, as we found out with the Obaminator here in the United States.
Yes, cluelessness in any leader is a leader. An individual who's clueless, okay, he's an individual, but he's a leader.
Yes. Yeah, clueless. You know, George W. Bush was clueless. But yet because he was ran for office and the majority of Americans who voted for him, he used deception to get America into two counterproductive wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, and set the world on a course for World War III. Clueless is not an alibi when you choose positions of leadership.
Correct.
Yahweh said in the book of Hosea, my people are destroyed for being clueless. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Because they do not know, they're destroyed. And he's not just speaking about the leaders being ignorant and irrational. It's the people who choose the leaders.
Absolutely.
Who acquiesce to the leaders. You're destroyed because you're clueless. Ignorance is not bliss, folks.
Every people deserve the government that they have. Every people.
Yeah. In the United States, there's a new show in town. It's called the Benghazi hearings in the U.S. Congress, and it's all focused on Hillary not responding appropriately to the brave people who lost their lives in the Benghazi, the four Americans. And yet no one is talking about the only thing that really matters, and that is that Benghazi is a direct result of American foreign policy where we decided that we would take out Muammar Gaddafi, and that we would take him out by violent means, that we would bomb Libya, and that we, through Qatar, would provide billions of dollars worth of weapons to the jihadists to overthrow Gaddafi, and they used those weapons to kill the Americans that supplied the weapons to them.
But besides this, I would have thought the most relevant question would be, why did the State Department try to convince the American people that was not a terrorist attack, that was due to anger about a movie? As far as I'm concerned, this would have broken her back completely. But they didn't address that one.
Yeah, that's the second issue. I think the primary issue is cause and consequence. That's the thing that is the biggest problem in America is not a failure to understand Islam. It's a failure to understand cause and consequence, to take responsibility for anything. And we're going to turn to that in our next segment, IQ, when we talk about WikiLeaks. Cause and consequence. And I want us to speak about both these things. But cause and consequence. America decided that Muammar Gaddafi had to go, was not smart enough to figure out that whoever replaced it would be worse. We bombed him into oblivion, and then we armed the Muslim jihadists with billions of dollars of weapons. And those weapons were used to kill the staff and the embassy. That is what happened. And there isn't a single American who's taken responsibility for that we ought not have bombed Libya. We ought not have armed the jihadists because they used those weapons to kill us. Have you ever heard a single politician or anyone in the media acknowledge the obvious?
They wouldn't. It would be self-destructive. These are the same weapons that literally led to the extermination of the Christians of the Middle East.
That is correct.
Led to millions of people being destitute to have to leave the Middle East somewhere else.
These are the same weapons that Boko Haram uses to kidnap and gang rape little girls.
Absolutely.
These are the same weapons that that the Islamic State and al-Nusra are using to kidnap little girls and rape them.
Yes.
The same weapons.
Same weapons.
Cause and consequence. And America seems incapable of exercising good judgment and admitting their complicity in their own demise. And so I think that's the single most important here. The second is the one you brought up. When it is now known for fact that the U.S. personnel said that we're under attack by Ansar Sharia. They knew they were under attack by Ansar Sharia because U.S. Embassy facilities, U.S. State Department facilities throughout the world are populated by CIA officials. And the CIA of the United States in Libya befriended Ansar Sharia, and that's our Friends of Sharia Law. And they befriended them because they thought that they were the most manipulative, able to be malleable of all of the jihadist groups that we were arming. And we gave them not only weapons, but we played basketball with them, played cards with them at the CIA facility there. And we knew all of them. We had given them weapons. And they realized that it was those jihadists and those weapons that were attacking the facility in Benghazi. And so they said, it's Ansar Sharia. And so
the Prime Minister of Libya, a few days later, he himself said, nothing to do with any movie.
Correct.
These were terrorists. They were Ansar Sharia. He said it.
Yeah, of course. It was Ansar Sharia that was working with the CIA inside of the State Department, and we armed them, and we knew them. And the reason they knew the facility in Benghazi so well is because we invited them over there. And they recognized them when they attacked. And so what did Hillary Clinton do? That rather than tell the truth, as it had been reported to her from her own staff, she instead redacts all of the information regarding Ansar Sharia, and she replaces it with references to a Copt Christian movie about Muhammad, which had nothing to do with it, and promoted that lie. And her boss goes to the United Nations, and he blames the movie, long after everybody that's informed, including the president and the secretary of state, knew the truth. They lied. Why would they lie to condemn a Christian and blame a Christian when they knew, in fact, it was a fundamentalist Islamic attack?
Because they supported them.
Yes.
McCain went to see them. He was having dinners with them.
Yes.
General Vallely was the one, the brain, who was supporting them, financing them, and arming them.
Right. So when you have Benghazi hearings in Congress and they're all over the bleeding heart, where were you that night trying to protect your people and not sending in added help for them? Why, you know, all of the stuff that is now irrelevant, the two things that are relevant, they don't want to mention. And it's apparent the reason they don't want to mention it is because political correctness will not allow them to say the second. And the first, the Republicans are as complicit as the Democrats.
Absolutely.
And arming the jihadists there. Now, the other part of it is, IQ,
yes,
that if since what we did in Libya backfired, and we are wholly responsible for the Libyan nightmare, and it absolutely backfired, that getting rid of a bad secular dictator led to something infinitely worse, why are we doing the same thing in Syria?
Because America has not learned anything in 60 years with Islam.
Once we had taken out Saddam Hussein and opened up a civil war that had led to almost a million dead people in Iraq, the annihilation of the Christians in Iraq, the annihilations of the Zoroastrians in Iraq, and a civil war between Sunnis and Shias that has engulfed the Middle East, after we had failed that miserably in Iraq in trying to nation build and get rid of a secular dictator, why in the hell would we do the same thing in Libya? And then when it failed the same way in Libya, why would we do the same thing in Syria?
Because you said it before. It is total stupidity. It's utter stupidity when you repeat the same mistake, expecting different results.
Okay. Now, here's IQ, the place where we have been in absolute agreement. And I was in absolute agreement with that statement until earlier this week. And earlier this week, I read the WikiLeaks documentation of the United States' direct complicity in the Syrian civil war. It wasn't stupidity. We did it deliberately. We did it deliberately. Back in 2006, the United States articulated a plan, and it's published now by WikiLeaks, the internal documentation, avowed by every security agency in the United States, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, military intelligence, the Department of Defense, and the White House. Everybody's involved, including the State Department. And the strategy was to create a civil war between Sunnis and Shias, and to use that civil war between Sunnis and Shias to bring down Assad.
But it is still stupidity.
Why? Is it stupid to do that?
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's premeditated.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
But it was, yes. But in the past, what I have said is our stupid invasion of Iraq, the consequence of our foolish taking down of Saddam Hussein and trying to nation build in Iraq and arming both sides in Iraq, is what led to the Syrian civil war, as if our stupidity in one place, the consequence was the Syrian civil war in another place. But that's not completely true. What's completely true is that long before the Arab Spring, 5 years before there was an Arab Spring, the United States was already had the CIA in Syria to arm Sunni jihadists to take out Assad. And that the reason that the peaceful demonstrations turned immediately to civil war is because the United States had already designated the jihadists and had set them up and had armed them and was funding them right from the beginning. We did it deliberately.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Don't misunderstand me. It was deliberate,
mm-hmm.
but still it was stupid.
Well, of course.
Because they still haven't learned anything from previous operations that they did.
Correct. Yeah, the CIA, the Central Intelligence Community, has no intelligence.
No intelligence, exactly. Thank you very much. That's it.
Yeah. It's very much like the CIA was behind the whole idea to use the Taliban and Al-Qaeda as proxies to go fight the Soviets. That was their big deal. They just loved to take it to the Soviets. And so they used the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to take it to the Soviets. And their great scheme was that by proxy, we could arm the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and they would take down the Russian-backed government of Afghanistan. We were too stupid to understand, well, then what? Well, then who's going to be over Afghanistan? And isn't a fundamentalist Islamic group like the Taliban going to be worse for Afghanistan and worse for America than was the Soviet government? And what's the consequence?
Logic. Yeah, but you need logic to have consequence.
And then
you
don't
have the logic. When you have Commander-in-Chief of the United States refusing to associate terror with Islam.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to win the war? It is impossible.
When you try to prevail against Islam, playing Islam's game, which is war, which is really terror because we're bombing civilian communities, and because the Islamic State is an amalgamation of civilian Islamists. And so when you engage in a war using the tactics of Islam and you stoop to the same level as Muslims, all you do is validate them. You can't win a war against Islam with bullets and bombs. You make it worse. So even if we associated Islam with terrorism, and Muslims perpetrate 99.9% of the terrorist acts in the world today, even if you correctly associated them with them being the only common denominator, your response cannot be war. Your response has to be words.
It's got to be quarantine.
Yes, it does.
Only quarantine.
Yeah. That is,
you don't allow any Muslim to live in any country outside Dar al-Islam.
There is a disease in the world that's far more deadly and more contagious than Ebola. It's Islam.
Yeah. It's called Islam.
It's Islam. And if you were head of a country and there were 10 million people that were affected with Ebola, and you said, you know, the humane thing to do is that these people are marching towards our borders, is that we ought to take them in, we ought to feed them, we ought to house them, we ought to fund them, and we ought to try to integrate Ebola right into our mix, you would say, well, that's insane. And yet Islam is vastly more destructive and vastly deadlier than is Ebola.
And yet the Europeans are welcoming them by the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife was talking to a German citizen the other day. She says, you know, how in the world are you taking in, you know, a million Muslims a year into Germany, particularly when the ones that are already there don't work? And when they're as a whole want to impose Islam on Germany. And they say, oh, well, you know, it's going to be okay because we really need workers, and they're going to work. You know, there's never been a coalition between Islam and work, ever?
Never.
Ever.
Muhammad
never worked a day in his life.
Never worked.
Yeah, Muhammad never worked a day in his life. The first Muslims never worked. You know, there are statements in the Hadith that show the first Muslims looking at people that actually worked and just being amazed as to what work was about. And the people that had wealth because they worked for their wealth, the Muslims routinely robbed. They terrorized them. You know, the last kibar, that Jewish enclave, the kibar Jews were coming out of their town with implements of work, with their shovels and their spades to till the land. And so what did Muslims do? Did they take the spade and the shovels and the hose and say, hey, let us join with you to work and we'll produce some food and we'll do something beneficial together?
They slaughtered them.
Right. And the one thing they did not take, the tools of commerce. They did not take the land. They just stole the property. IQ for the first time in a long time. I'm actually frustrated. And I'm frustrated for two reasons. The first is that the only solution to Islam is quarantine. If you don't isolate this, the most terroristic, deadly, and destructive pathogen ever conceived by humankind, it will destroy everything. Islam has consistently destroyed everything it touches. And yet, even though that's the only appropriate response, which means you don't supply them with arms, which would cut, you know, America's arms sales by about 90%, and you don't invade their countries, which would give no purpose for the U.S. military, and you don't buy their oil, and you don't allow them into your country. And yet, what are we seeing right now? Tens of millions of Muslims infecting every country on earth.
Yeah. And everybody is welcoming them with open arms.
Yeah. So the opposite of what's sane is what is happening.
Correct.
So where do you get the enthusiasm to expose and condemn this kind of stupidity, to tell people what you're doing is catastrophic, it's suicide, when they're swallowing the poison faster than you can even get the words out?
Look, why do you think I'm upset also?
Yeah.
We've been doing this for, 10, 12, 14 years?
Yeah, every bit of that.
And each prediction you made is correct, and each prediction I made is correct.
Yeah, we haven't missed on any.
Every one of them.
Yeah, we haven't missed on any. And we've been
all correct.
Correct. We've told the world exactly what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and why it was going to happen, and it's all taken place exactly as we said it would. You know, I even have 3-hour shows on programs like Coast to Coast where I laid out exactly the consequence of our behavior, what it was going to lead to. Everything I said was true. You know, IQ, the other part of my frustration is what just happened in Sweden, because I think it's going to happen more and more. There are going to be idiots that respond to Islam with swords and with guns, and that are going to lash out in unintelligent, immoral ways.
But these are not idiot people. These are people who are frustrated like you and I, and who are expressing their frustration with mass murder.
Yeah,
the one who committed mass murder in Norway, mm-hmm, 2 years ago or so.
Yeah.
What did he do? Whom did he kill? He killed the children of the elite of Norway. The very elite who were allowing Norway to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Still,
that's what he was doing. I'm not condoning what he's done, but I fully understand his anger and frustration.
But here's the problem. You and I, as two of the most formidable voices exposing and condemning Islam, are going to be expressly blamed for the rage of those who commit acts of mass murder. And even though you and I say all the time, do not use violence. Never resort to violence. When you resort to violence, you made a bad situation worse all the time. When the United States responds to the Islamic State through the use of violence, we make it worse, not better. And what these people have done when they resort to violence because they're frustrated is they play right into the hands of the most violent doctrine that ever lived. Because now they can say, no, it's not our fault. It's the fault of those extremists. And so what they have done is they have done enormous damage to the cause of truth, of intelligence, because of the way they've responded. And they will, the media and politicians will do everything in their power to take us down with them, even though we have never advocated violence.
But I'll tell you something.
Yes.
If between now and the first 3 months of next year,
mm-hmm,
the Europeans don't resort to mass violence, Europe will be finished.
Yes. Completely. And they're going to. And what you're going to see is you're going to see more and more people frustrated because they can't stop their leaders from doing something that they know is wrong. They don't know why it's wrong. I've not heard any one of these mass murderers, nor have I heard anybody that's a part of the anti-Islam groups in Germany and Europe articulate why Islam is responsible for 99% of the world's terrorists. They are lashing out based upon all manners of hatred, but not of knowledge.
Correct.
And as such, the source of their anger is going to be directed at you and me. And even though all we have said is that you need to know the truth. You need to know the truth about Islam, that Islam was conceived as a terrorist dogma. It has always been a terrorist dogma. It will always be a terrorist dogma. That's what Islam is at its very heart. It is a doctrine of death. It gives no one a reason to live, only a reason to die. And you know something, IQ? When our response to those that attack us for conveying this message, and they attack us as being hate mongers and inspiring hate, when they do so and we say there isn't a single thing that we have said that isn't valid, that 100% of our evidence comes from the Quran and Hadith, and that there is no one that has ever refuted anything that we have published about Islam, it won't matter. The truth will not be a defense.
True. But I honestly believe that the truth will win. The truth always wills, because the truth is divine. I am not I'm more optimistic than you are, I think. Because I honestly believe, as much as I hate that's going to happen, mm-hmm, there will be mass revolution in Europe. And if it doesn't happen in the first 3 months of next year, or by the first of 3 months of next year, Europe will be finished.
Yeah, and I don't think there will be a revolution. And I don't think there'll be a revolution in the United States. I think that there will be protests, but you've already seen the anti-Islamic protests throughout Europe, particularly in Germany, die way down, and they died way down when the leaders of those protests were humiliated, and they have died way down. I don't see that happening because I think that most people are simply willing to go along. I think that the vast majority of people, that nothing matters. Truth, reason, evidence, even when they see it play out before their very eyes, they just don't care enough.
Human nature doesn't change, I don't honestly believe.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed in 10,000 years. It will not change another 10,000 years.
Right.
The human nature is clannish. It is tribal.
Yeah.
What is happening in Sweden, what happened in Sweden yesterday, what happened in Norway, it is going to be repeated, and there will be a revolution, at least I hope there will be a revolution, that will overthrow the government. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it isn't that ridiculous. Human nature, if Egyptians, a third-rate nation in the sense of economics and education, if Egyptians were able to remove one of the most oppressive governments in their history after 1 year, I have hopes.
Yeah, but what did they get? They got an even more oppressive government.
Well, it isn't as bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. Is not as bad as Al-Morsi. Al-Morsi would have created even greater disaster in the Middle East.
You know, what's interesting is that the Copt Christians in Egypt are suffering more under Sisi than they did under the Muslim Brotherhood. This is kind of like what happens in America, IQ. When Americans put a Republican in the White House, they're less on guard against overzealous government spending. And yet government spending grows faster under Republican administrations than it does Democratic, because they're more on their guard when a Democrat's in the White House. And so when they got a quote-unquote military dictator, the fact of the matter is that Sisi is every bit as fundamentalist a Muslim as was the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he is even more dictatorial. So, the Muslim Brotherhood is as evil gets. But this this military junta that absolutely allows no dissent, no free speech.
They can't afford it, to be fair. They can't afford it. Saddam Hussein never allowed any dissent. Gaddafi never allowed any dissent. No Muslim leader allows any dissent.
Yeah.
They can't afford it. Why? Because Islam, you give them an inch, and they will take your arm away.
Mm-hmm.
And these people know how to control these other people. Gaddafi was able to rule for almost 50 years. For almost 50 years, unchallenged.
Yeah.
He would have ruled until the day he died, and his children would have taken over. And same thing with Saddam Hussein in my country.
Mm-hmm.
His children would have taken over.
Yes.
But the West interfered. America interfered. France, England, all of them interfered.
Mm-hmm.
Big mistake.
Big mistake. Oh, big mistake. Mubarak was infinitely superior to either Sisi or the Muslim Brotherhood. And we saw to it that Mubarak was replaced. The Shah of Iran was infinitely superior to that which replaced him with the Ayatollahs. But we saw to it that the Shah was replaced. Muammar Gaddafi, same thing. Assad, same thing in Syria. The Russian government, the Russian-backed government of Afghanistan, was infinitely superior to the government of the Taliban that replaced them.
No question about it. This is why Putin has interfered in Syria. He had enough of interference from the United States and the United and Europeans, bungling up everything, making it worse. A year and a 1 year and 3 months, they have been bombarding ISIS, and ISIS is bigger than ever before.
In fact, IQ, can you imagine anything as devastating to the credibility of a country than a documents that lay out step by step how the government wants to kill a head of state in another country by establishing a civil war between the religious foes, between Sunni and Shia Islam, and that to see that manifest 5 years after it was written, and then to know that that has led to the worst catastrophe in modern world history, and that is laid bare for everyone to see, and there isn't a single major news agency in America to pick up the story. There isn't a single American that's screaming out against it, not anyone in Congress having a hearing on it. So how are you going to have a revolution when no one responds to the most important news ever?
The revolution occurs not because of the news media. It's because of the rape that will happen in Europe. Because of the damage the Muslims will do. Because of the inconvenience to Germans, to Slovaks. Enormous inconvenience happening now as we speak in Croatia, in Slovakia, in Greece, in Germany. They're moving Germans from their homes to allow Muslims to take over. Now tell me, how is that possible? But it is. It's happening.
Yeah. IQ, we have Jason on the line from Canada, who my guess is did not vote for Trudeau. Hello, Jason.
Hi. Yeah, you'd be right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I was somewhat relieved while Harper was governing things and his position on Israel and his, you know, not so accommodating stance on
Islam.
On
yeah.
Islam.
Yeah. He made some stupid statements on Islam, to be sure, but.
Well,
I still put him in the top five leaders worldwide.
Yeah, yeah, and he was in for 8 or 10 years. And,
yes.
You know, I would say I'm optimistic too, because you know, like it's another affirmation in a way. I mean, these things can't stand long term, and you know, it's going to get ugly. Yeah, but I guess in some weird way. I'm kind of glad it's not going to last forever.
Yeah, you know, I think
I would agree with IQ too that yeah, like the governments of the world today, they're going to lose control of the people that they're taking advantage of.
Yeah. And there's
it gets too deep.
Yeah, that's the place where I think IQ, you are right. And I talked about it a bit in the first hour. Rather than really a revolution against the government where the people take over, there's going to be anarchy. What you're going to see is that. A very significant percentage of Germans, of Europeans at large, are going to say, I don't want any more of this, and I'm going to stand up against it since my country is continuing to bring in this poison. We're going to stop it, and unfortunately, they're going to do so violently, and it's going to bring out a period of anarchy.
I would say so, yeah. I would, at least, you know, if it comes down to it, I won't be just rolling over.
No. But let me tell you something, guys, about the anarchy. The United States has created the largest empire in the history of the world. And we've created that empire through having 1,400 military bases in 120 countries. And we've created it by being the merchants of death, because when we sell our military hardware, that military hardware does no one any good unless we maintain it and train people how to use it, and we don't do that unless you use it the way we want it to be used. So look at the Ukraine, where there was a popular uprising against the Kiev regime. What did America do? It provided the money and the means for the Kiev regime to deploy its military hardware against those that were rebelling against the regime. What do you think is going to happen in the rest of Europe when this occurs, IQ? Don't you expect the same thing?
As I said, there will be anarchy.
Yeah.
Maybe I use the wrong word, revolution.
Yeah.
But when you have anarchy, the only people who are organized will be the military.
Correct. Yeah, what I see happening in Europe, IQ, is if what you're saying is there's going to be riots, there's going to be anarchy as people rebel against this, and they do so violently as opposed to using words, that the anarchy will be repressed through military intervention, that Europe's going to become a police state to suppress the anarchy.
Well, or maybe the military will take over from the politicians, like just like they did in Egypt.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when you have the only organized group are the military and the police. There's nobody left.
Yeah, and you look at America, the military and the police are dominant, and they will be unopposed. And so if you have the same thing in America, what you're going to witness is the conditions that we saw in Ferguson, the conditions that we saw in Boston after the bombing where the only people moving, and there'll be hundreds of and thousands of them, are military vehicles and police and all manner of federal agents armed to the teeth. And it'll be a lockdown of society.
Yes, but there is also a difference here.
Mm-hmm.
Americans own 250 million weapons.
Yep. That's the reason that there's this war on guns now. That's why that politicians and the courts
are unconstitutional. They can declare whatever they want.
Right.
I had an interview a few days ago, and everybody is talking about the law. No, there is no such thing as law.
That's right.
The Second Amendment is the law.
Right.
Anybody who wants to override it is going to be with the consent of the people.
Right.
The people don't want it. You don't give your arm to anybody. You don't register your arm with anybody. Anybody wants to take your arm away from you, you shoot them dead.
Yes, but the federal courts... acting out against the Constitution, have approved the laws that have been implemented against guns. And so the judiciary of the United States is now in direct opposition to the very Constitution that empowers them. And so what's going to happen is anarchy. That's where we're headed. We are headed to world anarchy, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Do you think there's any possible, I highly doubt it, that a lot of these politicians, especially like Merkel, that they're just acting out of a misguided humanitarian
belief system. Socialist, like anarchism.
Do you think there's they were incentivized, so to speak, by, I don't know, like they're saying that like Saudi Arabia didn't take in any of them.
Right, isn't that amazing?
What's the best way to advance Islam throughout the world? We'll call them victims.
Right.
And give the leaders who can bring them in, whatever, lots of cash, I don't know. I mean, is that a possibility? What do you guys think about that?
Can you imagine us in the West, with all the universities, with all of the education, being played for fools by Saudi Arabia? But that's exactly what's happening. When Saudi Arabia says, there's 10 million of them, we're not taking in any of them. And even though it's a short walk to Saudi Arabia, and they have plenty of land and plenty of money, and yet we're not taking in any of them, we're going to go send them to Europe, and Saudi Arabia's contribution is building mosques for them.
And we have in writing that Saudi Arabia they got interest in advancing Islam. So why not make it a big immigration movement that's going to spread Islam faster than anything else?
Correct.
Jason, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia is insignificant compared to Turkey. Mm-hmm. All that is happening today is Turkey.
It is.
Turkey is channeling these people.
Yeah.
These millions are coming through Turkey.
That's
why? Because the Turks under Erdogan want to reestablish the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
And
Saudi Arabia is financing it.
Right.
But Turkey is actually implementing it.
Yeah, so we're being played for fools by Turkey, which the European Union wouldn't allow Turkey to be part of the euro because of the impoverishment of Islam. And yet what the Turks are doing is allowing tens of millions of Muslims to invade Europe to make the rest of Europe just like Turkey.
Exactly. But that's exactly what's happening. Now, Saudi Arabia is financing. Turkey is doing the implementation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those people are coming through Turkey.
Yeah. It is absolutely true. And they're not fleeing the Islamic State and Hezbollah. They're taking their Islam right along with them.
Good God, look at the pictures.
Oh, I know.
Each and every one of them is, every female is muhajab.
Yes.
Wearing the hijab. Every
exactly.
female.
Right.
Every male is with a beard.
Right.
All of them of military age.
Yes.
Between the age of 18 to 40.
Yep.
Military age.
They've imported the most deadly pathogen man has ever conceived right into their home.
So, like that one point I was going to make was that the silver lining in it is that people will be forced to give up having a confidence in the governments that rule over them.
Yes. You know, so there's going to be there's going to be anarchy, and that is for sure. IQ, you made a point. You said the truth always prevails because the truth is divine. There is only one source of absolute reliable truth, and it is divine. It's found in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. There is hope. The truth will ultimately prevail. But mankind is going to go through the most hellish years over the next, between now and 2033. This planet is going to be devastated by man's stupidity.
And isn't that purpose this hell is actually mm-hmm. has a purpose to it too? Isn't it going to basically bring out the remnant of Israel, the sons of Israel?
Yeah, it brings out a choice. It puts you IQ in a situation. Who are you going to trust? You going to trust God and his Torah guidance, or are you going to trust a human institution that is working against your interest? Who are you going to trust? Whose side are you going to be on? Who do you think will deliver his promise? And the answer is the other one. So you're right. Truth will prevail, and truth is divine. Truth is the Torah.